Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in solemn feasts, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth against it. Today I preach to you a rule of worship. A rule of worship. Why don't we pray and ask God to just have his way in the remainder of this service. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your touch, for your power and what we feel. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, God. I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, that you'd work on us, help us to be more like you and change us. God, I pray that you would challenge us here today. Just let your word speak to our hearts. Let it have its way in us. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see Brother Mason here today. He had a birthday yesterday or today. Awesome, awesome. Appreciate these young men. Amen. Do we believe in a miraculous God? I hope we do. The question is, do we believe in a God that's miraculous, able to do anything, or do we believe just in an ordinary God? This question was asked in a poll several years ago, and it was actually stated like this: do you believe in a God who intervenes in human history, who changes the course of affairs, who performs miracles, and etc.? One poll response answered the question by saying, no, I don't believe in that God. I just believe in the ordinary God. What we believe about God impacts our life. What we believe about God makes a difference in how we live, how we act, what we consider important in our lives. And while many would like to separate their view from God, their view of God from everything else, it's extremely hard to do so, because how we view God, it affects so much in our life. What we believe about God, it definitely determines what worship means to us. If we believe that he is miraculous, that he is supernatural, that he has a part in human history, that he changes things in the real world, that he's alive and he's really living in our hearts and moving in our lives, then if we believe that, worship, it really means something very important to us. If, on the other hand, God's just ordinary, he's not really able to change things in our life, and he doesn't hear our prayers, and he doesn't really care about us, well, if that's how we feel, then worship means very little to us. I don't know about you here today, but I think the same way that King David did about this. I believe today that we serve a mighty, magnificent, miraculous, and marvelous God. Hallelujah. And worship is how we remind ourselves of this fact. Worship is how we recognize and express our belief that God can do absolutely anything. Hallelujah. It was David who said in Psalm 34 and 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Hallelujah. There's something so wonderful and so powerful about coming to church and coming to worship the King of the universe. He is our Savior. He is our everything. What a blessing to come together and magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray we never let worship be something that's just ordinary to us, something that we take lightly, something that we really don't value, because when worship loses its importance, we reach a place where God has just become ordinary instead of the all-powerful supernatural God. Worship, worship has a very important place in my own life. I guess I've always been a worshiper. There was something that got into my heart as a young age. And I love to worship my Creator. I love to give Him praise and to give Him glory. It does not matter what the song might be or what type of mood I might be in. I've realized that worship lifts one to a higher place. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship transforms our spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I couldn't go to a church that doesn't worship. I couldn't go to a church that doesn't place a high priority on worship. Jesus said in John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's looking for people that will worship Him. God's looking for worshipers today. God's looking for those that believe He is magnificent and He is powerful and He is able to do anything. He's looking for somebody that's going to say, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I'm going through. I've come to praise the Lord. I've come to magnify Him because He's everything to me. Hallelujah. David wrote in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He said in Psalm 122:1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Are you glad to feel His presence and to feel His touch? Hallelujah. There ought to be a gladness about coming to church. There ought to be an excitement about coming to the house of worship. Hallelujah. May I submit to us to here today, if we've lost our excitement about coming to the house of the Lord, maybe we've lost our spirit of worship. Maybe we don't have the heart of worship that we need. I love Psalm 100, psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. We sang about that just a minute ago. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Hey, I believe that God is in this place, and we've come to worship Him. That's what we're here for right now. That's what we've come together in this place. Would you magnify the Lord with me right now? Would you give the Lord praise and give the Lord glory? I've always been a worshiper, so you just have to pardon me. Your pastor doesn't understand people that aren't moved by the presence of the Lord. I just can't comprehend when you read a psalm like Psalm 100 and somebody just sits there and twiddles their thumbs. I don't know how that is, Brother Newsom. I can't understand that mindset of when we're talking about the goodness of Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like the Lord. I want to tell you, nobody else has done for me what Jesus did. Nobody else makes me feel like Jesus makes me feel. Nobody else helps me like Jesus helps me. There's nobody like Jesus. I want him to know that. Hallelujah. Let me tell somebody here today, you want to sit there like a bump on a log and you want to say that you don't feel the presence of God? That's why, because you haven't worshiped him. If you'd start to worship him, if you'd start to magnify him, God would show up in your life and he'd transform you. Jesus Christ is real. He's alive. Oh, no. Pastor, stop. Stop getting us all riled up. The first thing we need to remember today is we were all made for worship. Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you have breath, if I have breath, then we're to worship him. We're to praise him. We're to give him glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Think with me today. How blessed it is that the God who breathed life into mankind, the God that breathed that breath of life into Adam and henceforth into every one of us, that God, he deserves our worship and praise, and we can turn around and take that breath that he gave us and we can send it back to him in worship. We can send it back to him in thankfulness. If you notice in our text today, it says, when the people came before the Lord in worship. Not if, but when they came before the Lord in worship, those who are called by the name of the Lord, they will come before him. They will make room for worship in their lives. I preached several times before. I preached it here, how we're wired for worship. Several years ago, Newsweek published a magazine detailing some of the studies of spirituality in the brain. The magazine covered, it was entitled, God and the Brain, How We're Wired for Spirituality. The Bible is full of scriptures that talk about how the mountains and the hills break forth into singing. The trees clap their hands and sing praises. Let the heavens ring. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar. Let the fields be joyful. Let all the trees rejoice. If all of those things praise him, then surely the creation that he formed himself of the dust of the ground, surely that creature that he breathed the breath of life into, surely those of us that are the apple of his eye, surely we have something inside of us that is built for worship. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were made by him and created by him and for him. We are here for a greater cause than just living and dying. All things were created by him and were created for him. Without him was not anything made that was made, but we have a purpose. We have a calling. We have a responsibility. We were designed for worship. We were created for worship. We were wired for worship from the very beginning. In Luke 19:37, we read of the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And that Pharisee spirit, sometimes it'll try to make its way into the church. Stop all that noise. Stop all of that worship. You're getting too crazy. Stop making all that commotion. You need to settle down. You know what? In all the years that I have been in ministry and the years that I have now pastored, I've never truly had a problem with somebody that was a worshiper. I'm not saying there wasn't issues that had to be dealt with, but true worshipers have the right spirit. 99% of the problems I've dealt with in the church came from people that weren't worshipers. They sit back and like to judge those that are worshiping. Well, that one over there, they're okay, but that one there, did you see what they did last week? Who are they to be worshiping God? Who are they to be crying out to the Lord like that? Who are they to be singing like that? When if we would get to looking at our own selves and we'd come before the presence of God, we wouldn't have a choice but to worship. Because He's so great. He's so marvelous. He's so worthy. And we're nothing in His sight. But He's filled us with His presence. He's poured out His Spirit in us. And I can't but help to worship Him. I can't but help to praise His name. Amen. Let me tell you, God gave the church a pastor for a reason. And I'd much rather have to settle somebody down a little bit that gets a little crazy in their worship than have a church full of non-worshippers that don't move at all. We all worship differently. Amen. We all worship differently, and that's okay. Some may be more exuberant than others, but there will be a move of your spirit. There will be a move of something. There will be something that happens in worship and in praise. You're going to clap your hands, or you're going to tap your toe. You're going to do something, but there needs to be a heart of worship in every single one of us. Hallelujah. The Pharisees were telling Jesus, rebuke them, settle them down. They're too loud. They're too crazy. But we read in Luke 19 and 40, and He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. We must not neglect what we were made to do. We were made for worship. I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm not going to withhold my worship. Come on, we must give thanks to our Maker. We don't want some stone crying out in our place. We are all made for worship. The second thing here today is worship has some rules. Now, in the Old Testament, there were some complicated rules of worship. There were so many sacrifices that were for various purposes. Sacrifices of turtle doves and of pigeons and of grain and of oil, of lambs and rams and bullocks. It was a quite complicated system of worship. But the worship of the Old Testament covenant was fulfilled by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And just like in the Old Testament, the new covenant of the New Testament has some rules about worship. What are these rules today? First of all, worship involves participation. We don't sit back and let a high priest worship on our behalf. It's changed. Jesus became the fulfillment of that Old Testament covenant. And he gave us a new covenant. He is that high priest for us. Amen. We don't let someone else bring a sacrifice for us. We're all to bring a sacrifice of praise. We're all to be worshipers. We must worship ourselves. It's not just enough to have pastor to be a worshiper. It's not just enough to have mama and daddy be a worshiper. But I will tell you this. If mom and daddy are worshipers, usually Johnny and Susie are worshipers. And if mom and daddy aren't worshipers, usually John and Susie struggle with worship. Parents, I don't want to be someone that sits back with a scowl on my face and so mad about things of life and judging everybody else. Come on, there's enough negative out in there in the world. When I come in the house of God, I want to look to Jesus. And when I look to Jesus, I can't help but magnify him. I can't help but glorify his name. Hallelujah. Worship involves participation. And worship involves sacrifice. God sent a prophet to speak to David, the king, and told him to go and build an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And so David went. And when Arunah looked out and saw the king and his servants coming toward him, he ran out and he bowed himself before the king David. And David said, well, I've come to buy your threshing floor to build an altar to the Lord. And Arunah said, well, I'll give it to you and anything else you need. Here's wood and here's oxen for the sacrifice. I'll make it as easy as I can for you. But we read in 2 Samuel 24:24, and the king said unto Arunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Worship involves sacrifice. True worship is going to cost us something. It's hard to be a worshiper and have pride. Worship's going to cost you your pride. Worship is going to cost you rebellion. Worship is going to cost you your will. Worship will cost us our desires. Worship will cost us our allegiance because we give it all to him. We don't hold anything back. But true worship comes and says, I'm putting it all on the altar and I'm giving a sacrifice of praise today. Worship will cost you something, but I'm willing to pay the cost because, oh, what a reward. Oh, what a blessing. When I come before the Lord and I worship him and his spirit starts to move and his power starts to touch and his glory starts to heal my life, I tell you today, it's worth it. Nothing you ever give up for God is too much because of the blessing, because of the reward. Worship involves our best. David refused to give God something less than his best. When we have company over, mama doesn't say, go get the paper plates. Well, sometimes she does. You bring out the nice china for important guests. I still believe that we get up on Sundays and we wash our face and we comb our hair, put on deodorant, and get dressed in something presentable, and we make a commitment to be here early, to coming for pre-service prayer. This is what we do on Sundays. This is who we are. We're giving God our best. On the first day of the week, I'm putting him first, and I'm giving him my best. When they were going to bring a sacrifice in the Old Testament, they didn't go around and find some old goat that was missing half of its hide and about to die. And bring that to the Lord for a sacrifice? Oh, no. They were to bring God their best. And it's still the same way today. We're to bring God our best. I don't want to do more for worship, for the things of this world, than I do for God. He deserves our best. He deserves our best praise. He deserves our best worship. He deserves our best devotion. Hallelujah. Worship has some rules. We're to worship with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. We're not to hold anything back. We're supposed to do more than just the minimum. And our text today reminds us of another rule of worship. When they came to worship at the appointed place, at the appointed time, with the appointed sacrifice, there was a rule about how they came in and how they went out. There's 9 gates into the old city of Jerusalem. 8 are still in use. 1, the eastern gate, is now sealed shut, awaiting the Messiah's coming. The Damascus gate faced north. The Zion gate faces south. We read today in Ezekiel chapter 46 that if a worshiper came in by the Damascus gate, they were supposed to go out by the Zion gate. If they came in the Zion gate, they must exit through the Damascus gate. Ezekiel summed it all up when he said, they must never leave by the same way they came in, but they should go out the opposite way. Now some might just say, well, that's for crowd control purposes. But I believe it takes us to something that's much more meaningful. It's a rule for worship. Here's your rule for worship today. Don't you dare leave the same way that you came in. Don't you dare go home the same way that you came. Don't leave in the same condition. But there ought to be a change in us from the way that we worship. We ought to go out from worship in a different mindset. We ought to have a different attitude. We ought to have a different feeling. There ought to be something that changed in us. There needs to be a change in our heart, a change in our thinking. Come on, somebody. There needs to be a change in your mind. A change in your situation, a change in your circumstances. Don't you go out the same way that you came in. But when you come in a heart of worship and you begin to praise God, there's going to be a change in you. There's going to be a change in your family. There's going to be a change in your thinking. We're impacted by those that we hang around. Spirits rub off on one another. That's why I just can't sit by non-worshippers. Well, I can, but it's probably going to rub off on them, not on me. Spirits rub off on each other. If you don't believe it, they said one bad apple spoils the whole bunch or something like that. When we come in, I want to be a worshiper that rubs off on others. I want to be someone with the heart of worship that gives God praise and somebody next to me starts to feel that same fire. That's still that same touch of God. When we come in before the presence of the Lord and we spend time in His presence, we repent of our sins, we magnify His name, we sing praises unto Him, we hear the preaching of the Word of God, we come around the altar and spend that time in worship, seeking God, ushered into His presence. When we spend time in His presence, it rubs off on us. It changes us to where when we leave, if we've been a true worshiper and we've truly been in His presence, our attitude's going to be different. our mindset is going to be changed. Hallelujah. When we spend time in His presence, it ought to change us. We should want to live a little better. We should want to reject sin in our lives. We should want to live a little more holy. We should live a little more godly. We should want to be more like Him. Because when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, it rubs off on us. Hallelujah. That's why I love coming to church, because I need all of His presence that I can get. I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm addicted to His anointing. I'm addicted to His love. I've got to get in His presence because I need it to rub off on me. Look at how Isaiah was impacted when he was in the presence of God. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the glory of God. The doorpost and the place was shaken. It was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me." God's presence changed him. He was moved. He was convicted of sin. He was purged in God's presence. And he left that encounter saying, "Lord, use me. God, please send me. Don't leave me the same way I was when I came in, but there needs to be a change in me. I want to go out differently than the way I came in. I want to go out saying, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Have your way in my heart." The wise men came from the east to worship Jesus. They were warned to leave a different way than when they came. And oh, I want to tell you today, wise men are still worshipers. Wise men and wise women and wise young people are all worshipers because they know where their strength comes from. They know who gave them the breath in their lungs. They know that nothing can steal their worship from God if they'll give it to Him and Him alone. But wise men and wise women know they should leave differently than how they came into the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you today, changes happen in the presence of God. Changes come in the house of worship. Worship changes things. It's not that God's size gets any greater when we magnify Him, but our perception of Him does. He's already great. He already fills the universe. Heaven is His throne, earth is His footstool. When we worship God, it's not that He gets any bigger, but our perception of Him changes. As we come close to Him, He becomes larger in our lives. Hey, if you don't have any problems today, if you don't need any miracles today, if you don't have any worries or any questions that need an answer, then I guess an ordinary God will do. But for the rest of us here today, that we do have some problems and we do need some miracles and we do have some things that need a supernatural answer, I want to tell you, we need a big God. We need a big view of God. And worship changes things. Can I get a witness today that one time when you were focused on all your problems, they seemed so large. It seemed like there wasn't any hope. It seemed like there was no way out. There was no answer in sight. But when you began to worship God, it's not that all the problems went away. It's not that all the problems went away, but God began to get so big in your vision, in your sight, that you couldn't even see the problem anymore because of God's greatness in your eyes. Come on, is there anybody today that you've been there? You were down, you were depressed, you were burdened by the world, but then you began to lift up Jesus. You put everything else out of your mind and began to worship God, and all of a sudden, your spirit changed, your vision changed. The situation might have been the same, but your focus had shifted from your problem to your God. And I want to tell you, God's big enough to handle whatever we go through. God's big enough to work it out. God's big enough to open the door. God's big enough to make a way. Worship changes things. In Psalm 73:3, The psalmist Asaph writes, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He goes on to complain the whole chapter about all the things that weren't right, about the prideful and the corrupt and the ungodly, until he gets to Psalm 73, 17. And he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." In other words, all I could see was everything that was wrong with life, how unfair things were, how unjust this world is. But then I went to church. Oh, but then I went to church. And I began to worship God. And my vision changed. And now I see things differently. Now I see the destiny of the wicked, and I understand some things that I didn't understand before, because worship changes things. David said in Psalm 122 and 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And after that, if you read on down, Psalm 122 and 9, he declares, "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." If you study that verse out, that passage, he came in seeking his own good. "Oh, I was glad when they said unto me." It was all about me and getting the blessings of the Lord. He came in focused on himself, but he left seeking the good of Jerusalem. He left seeking the good of others. Maybe we've been a little selfish lately. Maybe we haven't really liked all of this talk about others that pastor's been preaching about. But let me tell you, worship changes things. Instead of being focused on ourselves, on what we want, on what our flesh desires, worship puts the focus on God and what he wants and what he desires. True worshipers aren't focused on themselves. They're focused on God. And what God focuses on is reaching others. Worship changes things. In Matthew 8, 2 and 3, we read, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Worship changes things. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And on in verse 23 through 26, "When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn," Brother Caleb. "But when the people were put forth," sometimes you got to get away from all the non-worshippers. Sometimes you got to say, I've got to put forth that negative attitude and that negative spirit. I'm not focusing on the negative, but I'm focusing on Jesus. When the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof, it went abroad into all that land, because worship changes things. In Mark chapter 5, there had been an unclean spirit that had been in this man, and he was living in the tombs, and they couldn't restrain him with chains, but he was always night and day crying and cutting himself. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And that man became an evangelist to 10 cities of Decapolis." Because worship changes things. Even a demon-possessed man couldn't be stopped by a heart of worship. He was tired of the rest of his life. He was tired of cutting himself. He was tired of the chains. He was tired of the darkness of the cave. He was tired of the tomb. And he said, I've got to come worship Jesus because I need a change in my life. If you're here today and you need a change, if you're here today and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you need to come and worship Jesus because worship changes things. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Worship changes things. Worship transforms the atmosphere. Worship changes our place of worship. It changes this house of just an ordinary place of brick and mortar into a place where the Spirit of God is. Worship changes things. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus, he cleansed 10 lepers, told them to go show themselves to the priest so that they could be declared clean. But Luke chapter 17, verse 15 tells us, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And Jesus said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The disease had been healed in the other nine. The disease had been stopped in the other nine. But that one who magnified and glorified God, that one who was a worshiper, come on, somebody. What makes us different than those that we live next to? It's not that we don't suffer heartache and tragedy and trouble. It's not that we don't have problems. But it's a heart of worship that changes things. It was that one leper who was a worshiper. It was that one that made a lot of noise. It was the one that he didn't care what everybody else thought, but he realized that Jesus had transformed him and he was made whole that day because worship changes things. Come on, worship brings the power of God. Worship brings healing. Worship brings deliverance. It brings cleansing. It brings salvation. It brings peace and joy and satisfaction. Worship changes things. Whatever it is that you need today, I want to tell you, you've come to the right place. Whatever change you need, you're here in the right place today. You're not meant to leave this place the same way that you came. That's a rule of worship. That's a rule of worship. When we worship, when we celebrate God's presence, there's to be a difference made in us. And I believe that God wants to make a difference in every single person here today. Whatever change you need, your worship is going to make the difference. Whatever change you need, your worship is going to make the difference. We're going to close this service today. And I want everybody in this house, I want to give you this invitation to worship God. I know you might still be facing some big mountains, but if you begin to magnify Jesus, oh, it's not that we won't still have to climb the mountain, but worship changes things. And it's going to change the atmosphere of your life. It's going to change your perspective. You're going to start to see things differently. You're going to start to feel a little differently because worship changes things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll begin to magnify Jesus, you'll still maybe have to climb the mountain. But as you worship God, your vision is going to change. And you're going to realize Jesus is bigger than the mountain. Jesus is greater than the problem. Jesus is greater than that closed door that's before me. And he's going to take me over the mountain. He's going to open the door. He's going to make a way today. When I worship Jesus, it changes things. God's seeking those to worship him in spirit and truth. I understand people worship in different ways. Some shout the praises of God. If that's you, then I want you to come to this altar shouting the praises of God. Others today, maybe you love to sing. There's always a song in your heart. We're going to come And I hope we're not going to sing a funeral song today, but I hope we're going to sing something that's a little worshipful. And I want you to come and sing from the bottom of your heart. There's some who lift hands in worship. If that's you, I want you to come to this altar and I want you to begin waving your hands to the Lord as if saying, Lord, I'm going to magnify you and I want to get your attention. I want you to know how much I love you. Hallelujah. There's some who love to dance in his presence. Hey, it's biblical. It's biblical. If that's you, then I want you to come to this altar today and I want you to dance before the Lord and I want you to praise God and worship him. You're here today and all you've got strength to do is just tap your toe a little bit. Well, that's fine. But I want you to tap your toe. I want you to do something because we're all going to be in unity today in worship. Amen. There's a rule of worship. If you come in one way, you need to go out another way. We're going to magnify God today. We're not going to leave this place the same way that we came, but we're going to stand on the promises of God. And as we begin to magnify him, this place is going to be transformed. And your life is going to be affected. It's going to be impacted today. Come on, whatever way you come, I want you to just come worshiping God. I want you to come praising him right now. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.